And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Max Herz here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe Rex Road, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing fine. Just want to sit back a little bit so everybody can see my Nolensville soccer crest here. See it?
Big Nolensville soccer guy.
That's right. That's right.
That's actually a pretty sweet. What would you call that jacket?
It's a quarter zip. Quarter zip. Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go. What's up? Okay, I'm gonna do a show like this. See. I love it. People on the radio are like, "Why are you talking about
things that
your
you can
ugly
see?
Face on the thing that I would never click on?" Some people do because why?
Because you're pretty.
Because sex sells.
That's right. That is correct. Max Herz, like a 19-hour day for Max Herz yesterday.
That's why he's loopy in there.
Yeah, he is. Max, what's going on?
I hit loopy probably first 5 minutes of the second period last night, but I'm happy to be here for the last day of my internship with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you. It's been good stuff. Michelle Knezvik back in the house tomorrow. You've done a wonderful job.
You have, to the max.
Wow.
I almost got Michelle a Preds point yesterday.
You did.
Well,
Matt Luff was close.
And you know he would have scored if you didn't pick him.
Maybe so. My guy did score, and then he got taken away.
Yeah.
Because Matt Duchene was offside. So 9 o'clock, got something to talk to him about when he joins our show later.
Clearly offside, yeah. So since you're going to go there to the Preds, I'll go to Twitter and something that already I'm like, come on. So here's the comment I got from Joel Buckberg on Twitter. Hines needs a better plan if that many chances produces no goals and a fluke own goal wins a game. And my response was, I think a coach's job is actually to put players in position to have chances, and then the players have to finish the chances.
That is correct.
I didn't look at last night as a coaching failure. I looked at last night as a I was certain they were going to lose because they just had – it's not like it was like primo chance after primo chance, but they had a lot of good ones.
And they had the puck the whole game.
They had the puck the whole game, and they had guys in front of the net, and they had the puck flying toward the net, and it's amazing that they didn't score. And I'm like, yeah, they're going to lose.
Yeah. Maybe you're just negative, as Willie points out on Twitter.
Yes, Willie called me out, negative Nelly alert. But, I mean, as I sent back to him, like, you know that crossed your mind because this happens sometimes. You're easily supposed to win a game. You're much better than the team. They're not playing for anything. You're playing for a lot. You are dominating. And then, they get the weird one.
Oh, yeah.
And you go home.
It crossed my mind several times. And, Saros didn't get tested a whole lot last night. But there were two that come to mind where he had to be really good. And he was. And I think it was the Balsers that had a breakaway in – was it the first period? I think it was first period. And then, obviously, in overtime, you got Tomas Hertl breaking down on you. That was a heck of a save.
That was –
by UC Saros to, number one, do the splits.
Do the splits.
And then, as Hal pointed out on the postgame show, to do the splits, but to also have enough strength to keep your pad down after you've done the splits when they're just whacking away at it and jamming. It's pretty good stuff from UC Saros last night. So, he was not – busy last night, wasn't overworked, but that's a shutout performance that you feel pretty good about and really kind of sets you up well for the rest of your week in terms of he should be fresh going into Thursday because not a ton of work for UC Saros last night, but big saves when they needed to have them.
And the best part about the overtime save, they played monster block afterwards.
Nice.
They did do that.
Do they still have Pekka?
It was a new one.
It was a new one.
I don't think I'd seen it on the new scoreboard, so it would have been years for me, but there were a couple years where I did not go to a lot of games. So it was great. It was great.
Long live
the monster block.
I love that.
Ryan Johansson with a game winner last night. It was kind of amazing that was the play that went in. Like the Predators had all these – like you said, it wasn't like they had grade A looks the whole night. I mean, they did have some. I think Sissons put one off the post on a breakaway. Forsberg had a couple really good looks. I mean, look, they played pretty well, I thought, but it's also one of those games where had that result not gone their way last night and Hertl scored on that goal in overtime and you end up with 1 point, I said this, there are some games where 1 point's a pretty good result for you. Last night would not have been one of those games. Last night was a game that you needed to have 2 points, and that would have been the case before the game anyway, but especially with the way that they played in the game, 2 points was something you needed to come away with last night. So it wasn't pretty, but interesting that that was the one that went in. Johansson just basically snuck one low, and I thought Ekholm may have got it. But
I thought Ekholm
didn't.
Got it initially, but yeah, basically, yeah. No, yeah, it just snuck in there. I'm watching the replay right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually amazing that actually technically went 5-hole. Yeah. I mean, it went off his right
just went right in
thigh and then through. Yeah, that's tough for him because he played a great game in goal. Yeah, and like, yeah, it wasn't like breakaway after breakaway and like, oh my gosh, incredible save, but a lot of good saves and then a lot of situations like Duchesne before what I thought was about to be the game winner from hurdle, Duchesne is just like,
yeah, all day.
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, just shoot it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, can't argue much with the way he's been doing things and setting things up. But that was one of those where it's like, oh, that was primo, and then you lost the puck. And I feel like they had a lot of those where it's like, something went wrong. You know, a pass went under a stick or whatever it is. They dominated the game territorially, if that's a word. It's not, but I'll use it anyway.
Is it not a word?
Territorially? I don't think so.
It is
an
now.
Adverb? I don't know. Maybe. I'll check it. I'd like it to be a word.
It's a word now.
Max, you went to Vanderbilt. Come on, man. That's basically Ivy League. Is territorially a word? He's giving me a thumbs up.
Roman Josi, he brought his shooting stick last night.
It is a word.
See?
Sorry. Go ahead.
10 shots on goal, 17 shot attempts from number 59 last night. He just kept cranking away, man.
How much ice time? He had like 38 minutes? I mean, what? I mean,
he did
gosh.
Have 30.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm like, he never leaves.
Well, I love, and there wasn't many power play opportunities last night. I think, the Preds have two? I think they had 2 power plays last night. And basically the strategy on the power play is now, all right, Roman Josi is going to be out there the entire time, both units. Like, that's been the case the last few games. It's not a bad strategy. It's just funny to me. We already have a mute for Joe Rexroad today here on the program. And he was at, like, I was sitting there I looked up. At one point, in the power play, the puck had been cleared, and there were like 7 seconds left, and he was finally coming off the ice. I was like, oh, okay, so he's going to be out there the whole time, every time now on the power play.
It's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Just have a 9-man power play. Josi is just the constant.
Like the all-time
quarterback. He just hangs out at the point.
Yeah.
He's fine. It's amazing. He created a lot of opportunities last night.
He did.
That's the thing. Like, last night's one of those games where Josi goes pointless. He had a point. You know, but that was taken off the board.
He's by far the
best
player
on the ice. But if you watched that game, that's totally a Norris Trophy winning game. Yeah. Like, holy cow. Like, is this like an adult playing with children?
30
just
minutes.
Skating around everyone all night?
30 minutes, 17 shot attempts. He was awesome last night. But again, that's 3 points or 3 games in a row where he didn't have a point. Like, 100 points at this point is going to be challenging.
Well, yeah, he needs one of those 5-pointers.
Is it going to be disappointing if he doesn't get 100 points? He ends up like 96.
Well, I think that I think so. I mean, it's because when you get that close to history like that, it would be huge to do it. And I'm not saying it's 100 Norris, not 100 not Norris, but it would help him.
Yeah.
It'd be really hard if he got there to justify voting against him.
I got a texture that says, I blame last night's performance on Stillman, the big bad GM. He did guarantee victory last night.
Why is this like some like, now for the first time in years, everyone, I'm going to guarantee a victory.
Also,
like,
it's the San Jose.
Are you that bored?
Also, it's the San Jose Sharks. Like, it's not like he's guaranteeing victory against the Lightning.
It's
the Sharks.
He makes Ian like go back in the archives to look up the last time he guaranteed a victory. Like, dude, if you were playing and you guaranteed a victory now, okay.
Ian, you got nothing better, dude. Go find this. Yeah.
And I guarantee that I'm going to have 3 cheeseburgers today. Prove me wrong.
Liam on the text line says, this upcoming schedule is brutal. Do you think it's a good thing because we'll be battle-tested heading into the playoffs, or is it going to be too much to handle and we end up missing the postseason? This coming from Liam on the text line. Well, it was an interesting night last night after the Preds game. They get the win. I get home last night, and I look at the score of Vegas and Vancouver. And Vancouver's up 4-2 heading into the third. And I was like, okay, pretty good shape here. Now, Vancouver did end up winning, but they ended up winning in overtime. So Vegas gets a point last night. But still, all in all, like a pretty good night. Vegas, you still have 1 game in hand on them, and now you're 4 points up. Dallas with a scrappy 1-0 win last night against Tampa, which Tampa, I think they're in full don't care mode right now. Like, they're ready to get to the playoffs because they've been pretty bad as of late. But yeah. Dallas gets another win. They're still 1 point behind you.
Well, so, you know, this may turn into, which is a way less pressurized situation, but this may turn into basically just the Preds and Dallas fighting to not play Colorado.
Could be.
Which would be fine. You know, I mean, that's a much easier discussion than missing the play. I mean, it's just huge point, huge 2 points for the Preds last night. However they came about, you were really in danger of not getting them.
Yeah.
And you needed them in that game. So Vegas is down to, they got 8 games left. Eight games left, 4-point deficit.
They're at Calgary on Thursday.
You know, like they
win.
Needed the two last night. Yeah. They, you would have preferred them to get none, but they needed the two.
Yep. Well, they've got, you know, Pacioretty's back, Mark Stone's back. They still lost last night, and they got Calgary coming up, which we talked about Calgary the other day. All they do is just continue to win and win and win. That's what they're doing right now. They're just
Another favorite song at Bridgestone.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, it is.
Probably my least favorite song in the world. Actually, that would be a good Rex Rant song.
Oh. All I do is win?
All I do is win, win, win. Who is that?
Is that DJ Khaled?
DJ Khaled and, I think, Assorted Others.
Yeah, Assorted Others.
That's a very bad song. So it's amazing. Vegas and that roster, they're going to miss the playoffs.
They could.
And I know, I understand it's been a trying year, but their fans deserve that too. Their fans deserve some underwhelming years. And this is reality, folks. Like, yeah. You are not going to the, you know, you're not going to be one of the best teams every single year. Doesn't work that way. It's real life.
Let's start the show today by making Max as uncomfortable as possible. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says, "Hi, is Max single?" Max, your response.
Uh-oh.
I'm just asking what the people want me
finally
to ask.
We can get another producer stalked over here. That's all we do on this show is get our producer stalked.
What we do here.
I don't
on the
want
program.
To know the Michelle end of that story.
There's a few.
Yes, I am.
There okay. We go. You heard it here from the source.
Now I've covered people before. Asked about their girlfriends. Like, yeah, I don't want that in the media.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, sorry. So I just want to make sure. You're telling the truth here?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay, good.
There you go. Hope this isn't foot-loving Sean on the text line.
I don't believe that it is. We're off and
don't
running.
Cheat on my piggies.
Today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion on the Predators. Great interview last night between Max and Mark Borowiecki as well. You can hear that coming up next as well. Seltzerland, turning Nashville into a hard seltzer paradise, coming up on Saturday, April 30th at Riverside Golf Links. You can enjoy this one-of-a-kind immersive experience as you spend the day tasting over 100 unique hard seltzers, indulge in mouth-watering munchies, get tons of seltzer swag, and bust out the gram for the most Insta-worthy moments. Seltzerland has rounded up the best hard seltzer brands in the land for one epic day dedicated to the bubbly brew everyone can't get enough of. Go to thegamenashville.com/contest to enter for your chance to win tickets to Seltzerland. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Back now come the Sharks, holding on to
oh,
it.
My
How did
juice.
He make that stop? UC Saros just did an incredible split with his legs going across the entire goal crease, right side and left, as he stopped Tomas Hertl with 1:06 gone in the overtime.
Monster block, monster block, monster, monster, monster block, monster.
It was a monster block monster last block, night with UC monster, Saros monster, in overtime. Monster, monster Max is way too happy about this. Look at that smile on his face with monster block coming back in.
Is this a real song, by the way?
It's like an actual volleyball song.
Okay, so it was made for sport. It was made
the first time
volleyball.
I heard of it was in the Olympics, right?
Yeah,
down
so
in Brazil.
The story is, I think, in
really?
The 2016 Olympics, someone who works on the Preds scoreboard crew also worked either for NBC or some sort of production at the Olympics. And every time someone goes up at the net and makes a block and just blocks it straight down and they win the point, they play this song. and everyone does the dance that the players do on the scoreboard. And, like, cheerleaders do it, too. It's crazy.
I covered volleyball at that Olympic. I don't remember that. And also, I thought that this was, like, way before I came to
town.
It's
just beach volleyball.
This is actually
volleyball.
Oh, it's beach volleyball. Oh, okay. That's some cooler volleyball that I didn't cover.
Is there indoor volleyball in the Summer Olympics?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Regular volleyball.
Team.
Yes.
Wow.
Team volleyball. Yeah. That's the volleyball.
Great.
I mean, I like the beach volleyball. Don't get me wrong. That's weird. I thought Monster Block was like this long-term thing here, and I got here before Monster Block.
No, you predate Monster Block.
How about that?
Yeah.
Monster Block. Monster Block is way better than win-win-win. Let's all agree on that.
Max Hurst caught up with Mark Borowiecki last night. By the way, him back in the lineup, good to see you after taking the cross-check to the face from Evgeny Malkin the other day. He talks about this in this interview with Max. Good interview last night after the game. Here was Max's conversation with Preds defenseman Mark Borowiecki.
Thank you, Darren. Max Hurst outside the Preds locker room with defenseman Mark Borowiecki after the 1-0 overtime win. You guys had the puck the majority of the game, Mark. What was it like to have all those chances and nothing going in?
I can be a little frustrating at times, but, I mean, credit to our group. We didn't cheat for offense or, you know, try to get into that kind of east-west game. And, you know, I think those can sometimes be sort of a trap game. You know, you have a lot of chances, a lot of possession time, and nothing to show for it. You know, you start gripping your stick a little too tight, and next thing you know, there's a high flip or something that bounces the wrong way, and they bury one. So, I mean, credit to Juice, too. He helped us out big time and shut the door when he needed to, and it was just a good 60-minute effort from us.
What did you guys think of the 3-on-3 as a whole?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, we just have so much high-end skill. Obviously, a little up and down, we gave some chances. But again, I think we've got the best goal in the NHL behind us. You know, we got all the confidence in the world in him. So, you know, just kind of let our skill do their thing and possess the puck, and it worked out well.
You continue to mix it up every game that you're in there. Was that first fight with Beal preordained at all? Had you talked to him?
No, I hadn't talked to him. I just knew he's a tough kid and been fighting a lot this year. And, you know, I think the thing for me is I want to get to these guys before Tanner does, because he's too valuable for us to be doing that stuff too much. You know, he's a huge piece of our team. And, you know, if that's the way I can kind of contribute to the group, and I'm happy to do it. And you know, I think any guy will tell you on this team who fights, it's an easy team to lay it on the line for, because these guys are the best teammates I've had. And you kind of take pride in stepping up for them.
Saw you leave the box there for a little bit. Is that another round of stitches or something?
Yeah, I'll get a few more stitches. Nothing too crazy. So hopefully my son's not too scared of me.
Talking with Mark Borowiecki after the Preds win, that second altercation you were involved in that wasn't a fight. You stepped up, made that hit, and then Hurdle comes up on you. What was your point of view of that play?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was a puck in the air, and I was trying to take an angle on the guy. And once I realized he was trying not to play, I tried to get out of the way to the outside there, and you know, still kind of ran into him. So I understand the call. I mean, it is what it is. You're trying to do the right thing and not take a piece out of anyone. You know, I think you kind of wish to be 4-on-4 in that instance. It's one of those things. Yeah, my gloves are off and I'm ready for it. But you know, I just got cross-checked in the face two days ago. You know, you don't want to wear one again. So you're ready to protect yourself. But it is what it is.
Do you recognize in that situation the guy who just came at me is not necessarily a fighter?
Yeah, I mean, once I realized who it was, like, and you know, I had my hand taped up, I really had no interest in doing anything. Just not the right situation at the right time. And you know, my game's obviously polarizing, but I take a lot of pride in not really, you know, I'm not going to fight guys who don't want to fight. That's just not me. So, yeah.
I want to ask you about when you got hurt on Sunday, if I may. Yeah. Right at the end of a period, was there anything leading up to that at all? Did you see anything coming?
No. Yeah, I mean, I was a little disappointed in the minor for slashing. I've watched it a few times, and I mean, hindsight is 20/20. Obviously, it's a tough game for the refs to call. I got a lot of respect for those guys. I think they know it. Pretty good friends with the majority of them by now. You know, I've been in the league for long enough, but. You know, I've been on the wrong side of the law in this league a few times. Who am I to judge guys? I'm not going to, you know, sit here and stand here and try and take shots at guys. It's in the media. It's not who I am. So it happens. The game's fast. Mistakes happen. And I'm no worse for the wear now. So,
what was the mindset and physical recovery between then and now to play?
Yeah. I mean, obviously a bunch of stitches, a couple pretty nasty cuts in my mouth. Have to spend some time in the dental office tomorrow morning. That's a great way to spend a day off. So got a 9 o'clock appointment. We'll see if we got to pull another tooth out. My wife said she's cool with two teeth gone, but three might be a bit of a stretch. So we'll see what we got to do tomorrow morning.
We'll set the under a 2.5 on that one for sure. Dante Fabro was on with us at the second intermission, and he talked about just what it means that you're willing to step up anytime for any guy in the room, game after game. What does it mean when the other guys
reiterate what you're saying about them back to you?
Yeah, it just means the world. Can't say enough. You know, I had a discussion with a reporter in Ottawa when I went back. And, you know, as a guy who fights, you kind of have ebbs and flows in your career where you're like, you know, is this worth it? Is it worth the risks? And, you know, for me with this group, it's 100% worth it because I know these guys care about me and respect me. Like, I just can't say enough good things about the way they treat me, you know, through their actions and their words. Support and love I feel from these guys, you know, like, oh, I'll go through a wall for them. So I definitely appreciate it.
One more about not hockey, if I may. Yeah. Tonight was Pride Night at the arena, and you're the player representative for that. I know you don't get to stare at the scoreboard and hear that really much while you're playing, but what does it mean that the team can host something like that with you a part of it?
Yeah, it's always special. Something my wife and I, you know, really enjoy being a part of. I got a chance to go down to Oasis Center and do a bit of work there and meet some people. And just an amazing group of people who are doing great things, I think, for our community. So, you know, anytime you get to be, you know, an ally or chip in a small way, whatever that capacity is, my wife and I are always happy to do it. And, you know, things have always been a little strange the past couple of years, less of an opportunity to get out there in the community. And that's been unfortunate because we take a lot of, you know, not to be cheesy, pride in that you know, place a lot of emphasis on that in our lives. So hopefully as things normalize here, we can kind of step up a little more.
Mark Borowiecki, a tussle and a half tonight and an OT win. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, I appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
Darren?
That was Mark Borowiecki and Max Herz after the game last night. Tell you what, he's something else, that Mark Borowiecki. Great guy. If you've never been around him, he's a really good human being. And I tell you this, he's a very popular teammate as well. These guys rave about Mark Borowiecki and, you know, we talk about maybe stop trying to fight Tanner Jeannot here on the show. Maybe stop trying to fight Mark Borowiecki. It's not ending well for people as of late. He destroyed that guy last night.
Oh, yeah. His
body slam after it. It was not good.
I mean, he's such an interesting person, you know, because he is absolute fury when he decides to unload on someone.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got to be one of the most, I don't know, like sensitive, progressive athletes that I can think of. I mean, he talked on this show and elsewhere and written about like mental health. He has a really great piece on being an ally to the LGBTQ plus community on the Predators website. And then, of course, you know, good answer last night. Good interview, by the way, all the way around there.
Way to go, Max.
Good interview.
Thank you.
But what a fascinating guy. And then, like, he channels whatever, you know, fury he has in him into those fists. And I would not mess with him.
I thought a really interesting thing he said there, which I've wondered about as of late. I know Darren's talked about this on Darren Donica Chase as well. But he brought it up in that interview with Max of, yeah, I kind of wanted to get to him before Tanner did because he's too valuable. And maybe the mindset of, you know, obviously we know Tanner Jeannot can fight. But with how offensively gifted he is and how good he's been this year, is that something he really needs to be doing a whole lot of when he's that valuable to your team? And you hear Borowiecki say it like, yeah, I really wanted to get out there and get to him before Tanner did because he's way too valuable out there was interesting to me.
It is. And also, like, does it have to happen? I mean,
if Borowiecki's out there,
it does.
It does. It was amazing. James on the text line. Says, my boy Mark is running around the ice with no teeth, a dislocated jaw, missing eyeballs, blood everywhere, looking like Frankenstein with two black eyes, stitches everywhere, racking up 5 penalty minutes. What a hockey player. This is coming from James on the text line. He is quickly becoming, I think, a fan favorite. He had 9 penalty minutes in a minute and 30 of ice time last night in the first period. 9 penalty minutes in a minute of ice time.
Something else he said in that interview, and I think, just because I obviously hear it out of his mouth while he was talking to me, then I listened to it twice through as I edited it and posted it last night. I think this was the fourth time I've heard it. I didn't notice that in the answer about Malkin, he corrected himself because he originally said, I don't want to sit here,
Said stand here.
He corrected himself to say stand here because he was literally standing while the interview was going on. That tells you what type of person Mark Borowiecki is. That is not how most hockey players do interviews.
He wants to be accurate.
He wants to be accurate. That's right.
Yeah, and I respect that. You know, I don't want to get in the media thing because, I mean, look, it'd be easy to take a shot at Malkin. It'd be very fair to take a shot at Malkin, actually.
Yeah.
Everyone else is, but Borowiecki, he's got a code, man. He's I mean, I grew up with Bob Probert and Joey Koser.
Oh, yeah.
They did not give interviews like Mark Borowiecki.
I bet they did
beat
not.
The crap out of people. Interesting guy.
Not quite Mark
Valuable
Borbiesky.
Guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Plays, and look, beyond the fights, he's played pretty well this year for the group, too. I mean, he's been pretty good defensively. So another big night for number 90 for the Predators. Mark Borbiesky getting it done on the ice, off the ice. We'll take your thoughts on the Predators on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game.
You guys are a very, very physical team, Dante, as you know. But, I mean, what more can you say about your teammate Borbiesky after what took place Sunday? And, one, for him to be suited up and even playing tonight blew me away. And then what he did in the first, mind-blowing, huh?
Yeah. Each and every day he comes into the locker room and puts a smile on everyone's face. And, you know, on the ice, it's kind of unsaid. Like, he works his – he works his ass off every day, and you know, he's a heck of a teammate, and sticks up for every single one of the guys in that locker room, and we love him for that. He doesn't have to, but he does it every night, and you know, it doesn't go unnoticed in our locker room for sure, and I'm sure with the fans as well. They, as you can hear, they love the fights, but you know, there's different mentality to those in the locker room, and you know, we really appreciate him sticking up for every single guy.
That was Dante Fabbro, Preds defenseman last night, back in the lineup last night, and discussing Mark Borbiesky and what he brings to the table in the intermission last night with Darren McFarland. Back in Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Jim on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Borbiesky is an honorary Hanson brother. Honorary Hanson brother. Which make Pete Weber
again,
very happy.
A little bit better interviews with Borbiesky. We all love the Hansons, but maybe a little bit more verbose. You know?
Yes. Eddie Shore, boys.
Doblek.
Hanson brothers are just screaming old-time hockey out there. That's basically what that goes like. It's good stuff.
So Borbiesky puts a smile on your face or wipes it off your face,
yes,
depending on what uniform you're wearing.
Good to see Fabbro back in there last night. I guess, Max, yesterday we discovered that it was a healthy scratch for Dante Fabbro the other day against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, was it Monday we had that debate?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah. He was a healthy scratch on Sunday.
Has that been asked of John Hines?
It wasn't from Hines, but Brooks, who was with the team, confirmed it. And he had tweeted it, actually, at the end of a thread, and I had missed it.
Right. I'm just wondering if Hines has been asked just, like, what the reasoning is. I mean,
only thing I can think of is, I mean, Hines was pretty unhappy after that Florida game, and maybe Fabbro was one of the ones that he was squarely unhappy
with. That makes the most sense. Yeah, I mean, that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
I believe Darren said there was a answer from David Poile during their interview with him yesterday, but my time zones are so off because I've been waking up at 4:30 in the morning for this show that I still haven't listened to it.
This morning show is really messing with Max.
Man, come on, Max. This should be
three
your
days
routine,
in. He's
buddy.
Reached his breaking point.
I might fail my externship here.
Well, I thought he played well last night. And I mean, look, the Predators had the puck the whole game last night, so there wasn't a whole lot of defending that they had to do. But I still thought, you know, anytime you can limit an NHL team to what they have after two periods, like 12 shots,
yeah.
San Jose, doing a pretty good job.
I mean, they had 13 shots in like 30 minutes of hockey.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Let me see if I can do math. 50 minutes of hockey, basically. And they got to like 20 at the end of the regulation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, I thought they played well, actually. I thought the Preds played well. You know how those games go sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't finish. You can't quite make that play. Maybe you're gripping the stick a little bit too tightly. So I definitely was – I was watching this game like, they are absolutely losing this game. And I guess I'm a negative Nelly. But, I mean, I've seen it. You've seen it. We've all seen these games. So, actually, I think it's kind of a big deal that they got the 2 points.
Dustin on the text line says, don't get me wrong, they outplayed and put a lot of points on the board. However, 75% of plays they made one too many passes. Tried to deke when they should have just shot. I don't know how many times I shouted at the ice, shoot the puck. They kept losing opportunities. Just thankful we got the W. It was coming from Dustin last night. There were a few times.
I think that's a good assessment.
Where they probably should have just pulled the trigger. Now, Duchesne pulled off, he almost pulled off, like this double deke heading into the zone where he cut to his backhand and right back to his forehand. And if he had scored there, that place would have gone nuts. But yes, there were many times where
Is that two
yes.
mutes for extra?
Two utes and two mutes. Yes.
But yes, there were some times where I probably just pull the trigger. And I'm looking like Granlund, he's been really good all year long. And like, obviously, I wouldn't change too much if I'm a Kyle Granlund. There have been some times lately where I think he's maybe looking maybe a little too heavily for the pass.
Yeah.
Just let it fly, man. Let that thing go.
They got two centermen who you definitely at times are like, shoot. But, of course, Johansson, 22 goals. What do you want?
23 now.
What do you want from that guy? Oh, he's up to 23 now.
He's on a heater.
Yeah. So, yeah, I agree. I think – and, again, I think sometimes that goes with those games. You know you absolutely are better than this team. You have the puck in your ozone the whole night. You're creating chances, but then it's like, let's get the perfect shot here instead of just, you know, lay it up there and go get it.
I thought that was particularly the case on the power play last night. Like, they're doing a little too much passing. Now they only got two power plays, but they're doing a little too much passing last night. It's big to get the win. Obviously, you'll take the 2 points and you'll move on to Edmonton. I will say, you scored one goal against Florida, two goals against Pittsburgh, and now one goal against San Jose. Are you concerned that maybe they're in too much of an offensive dry spell right now? And, look, I know they got a ton of shots. They got a ton of opportunities last night. Sometimes they just don't go for you. But that is four goals in the last three games.
Yeah, it's not great. It's just different. That's happened in different ways. And, actually, I actually think the last – I thought in the Pittsburgh game they also created – decent chances. You got to finish.
Yep.
I mean, that's what separates, right? I mean, that's what separates great players and great teams is, like, you have the guys, you have the plays and the guys who finish. So that is a concern, but I would still take my chances with that much territorial. But, again, it's also San Jose in the last game, so you got to keep that in mind too. But territorially, that confirmed as a word, that's what you're looking for.
Brian on the text line says, Matt Luff, one goal post away from winning it. Max was almost a genius last night. He was that close.
Well, but, yeah, but also maybe Matt Luff was going to score, and then Max said he was going to score.
It.
Could be. Michelle, I'm sure, is very excited about that when she comes back. We'll let her know.
By the way, I think that's like the third time this year that I've picked someone and they've scored. And a review has taken it away from me.
Is that right?
And I'm about over it, let me tell you. Great tip by Forsberg last night. Just totally wiped away. Well, another shot from Roman Josi, one of his 1,900 shots he had on goal last night.
We got breaking news, by the way, which we can talk more about this. Titan Stadium. I mean, actually, I knew this. But, hey, I didn't report it, so... But Nate Rao, good job on Axios.com. The hotel tax is a big part of the funding.
Yep.
So we can talk about that at some point here. The raising the hotel tax, it is hotel motel at 6% in Nashville.
Okay.
It can go as high as 8 per state law. This would raise it to 7, which, of course, would be a big part of the funding for the stadium. As we figure out who all is paying for what and everything, here's something key.
So do we know if this is like Nashville or is this the whole state?
This is Nashville.
Okay.
Well, now hold on. Yeah. I mean, I know it's different. I believe it's Nashville. Let me make sure about that. That was my understanding was that it's Nashville. And, of course, you're talking about, I mean, this is a pretty good place.
A few hotels.
You raise the hotel motel tax here. Yeah. The inventory has risen. The inventory continues to be utilized fully, so that's a lot of money.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of that, plus a former Titan on the move yesterday as well to what is becoming a very popular destination for former Titans. That's coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tickets for the Music City Grand Prix, which is coming up August 5th through the 7th, go on sale today at 10 a.m. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win 3-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix right now. Just text the word RACE. That's RACE to the game text line at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 to be qualified to win. More details on the Music City Grand Prix can be found at musiccitygp.com. Remember, tickets go on sale shortly today at 10 a.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Joe Rex Road, a former Titan on the move yesterday. Anthony Firkser signing a one-year deal with the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur Smith and company signing Anthony Firkser to a one-year deal yesterday. So, Rashawn Evans there. Anthony Firkser there. The quarterback, Marcus Mariota there. Arthur Smith there. Dean Pease there. Lots of former Titans down there in Atlanta. I would say it's like the Titans of the South, except we're in the South. So, there you go.
That's, yeah, it's Titans a little bit south, a little bit east. I was really interested in the Firkser part of it. Evans totally makes sense. You knew he was done here. Makes sense. Dean Pease has coached him, has coached his best season in the NFL. And Dean Pease knows what he's capable of in terms of, certainly he's a physically capable, really good, you know, linebacker. So that makes sense. Firkser is interesting. Arthur Smith had him when he was better. I mean, Arthur, you know, Firkser was better in 2020 than 2021. Was that injury related, knee related? I don't know, but he did not do what I think the Titans wanted or were hoping that he would do last year, would give them. So they've moved on, and I'm trying to think how many. Mariota didn't throw a lot to Firkser. Like, Firkser kind of emerged sort of, especially after Mariota was replaced by Tannehill. But there's a little bit of a connection there. So, I mean, Atlanta, they're going to be talking about Mariota to Firkser for years. Matty Ice to Julio. No, forget about that. Mariota to Firkser, that's the new. What is it, Max? Tired and wired?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, there you go.
Wow, you're hip.
Yeah, thank you. Tired. Hello, fellow kids. Tired, Natty Ice to Julio. Wired, Mariota to Firkser.
I mean, he did have, in 2018, 19 receptions, 225 yards, and a touchdown while Marcus was quarterback.
There you go.
And 2019 had 14 catches, 204 yards, and a touchdown. I imagine a lot of those came when Tannehill was the quarterback, but still.
He had the TD in New England in the playoff game.
Yep.
So, but good for him. Look, he's overachieved, clearly, in his career. And he's not a bad player. I mean, it's not a bad pickup for Atlanta.
No.
Got to have somebody else to play tight end other than your unicorn who plays tight end.
Yes. I was interested to see if the Titans were eventually going to bring him back, like what the market looked like for Anthony Firkser. I mean, you've already got Hooper, obviously, and Jeff Swaim's come back. But I wondered, the longer this went on, could Firkser end up back here too? The answer is no. He ends up now with the Atlanta Falcons. So still, I would assume maybe. At some point in the draft, you're going to draft a younger tight end and just kind of see how it goes. Maybe you really like the potential of Briley Moore as well, that you're factoring into all this too. But I was curious to see, as free agency went along here and he still didn't have a deal, whether or not Firkser ended up back here. And the answer, we found out the answer yesterday.
Yeah, and I'll never again just assume after the whole Mykole Pruitt thing.
Yeah.
When – I'm sorry to all you texters again who are like, what about Pruitt? Like, oh, shut up.
Yes.
He's never coming back. Can't you see the writing on the wall? And then they bring back Pruitt. But now we know Firkser will not be back. Yeah, I thought it was possible, but clearly not a priority. So, you know, Swaim, Hooper, you know, maybe Briley Moore. You got some other guys on the roster that have been in, that have been hurt here and there, things like that. But I think they absolutely have to draft a tight end.
So we were talking last training camp, and we know this. There was a few different guys who were the talks of training camp. You can throw Marcus Johnson in there. You can throw, obviously, Racy McMath in there the first part of training camp and the amount of heads he was turning. But Anthony Firkser was in that discussion too. And, you know, Kevin Byard called him a top-flight tight end or whatever the quote was about Anthony Firkser, and it just never really materialized last year on the field. He did play better, I thought, toward the end of the season and became a little bit more of a factor in the passing game. I mean, heck, in the last interception Ryan Tannehill threw, he was streaking wide open right across the middle of the field. Maybe throw the ball to him there. That would have been something that maybe should have been considered by Tannehill in that play. But all in all, I think fair to say a disappointing season from Anthony Firkser last year.
My question for you is, let's say he goes down to Atlanta and he plays well. He looks good. I don't think anybody's going to confuse him for Travis Kelce out there, but let's just say that he goes down there and plays well. Rashawn Evans goes down there and plays well. What does that tell you? What do you think that means if those two guys move on to a different situation and are more effective down there in Atlanta than they would be here?
What it would probably mean is like Firkser was banged up last year and he's healthier now, and so that's the biggest factor. With Evans, yeah, I mean, I think with Evans, it would be, it could be as simple as, okay, the light has come on for him. But look, they couldn't get exactly what they wanted out of Evans. I mean, it will be natural if, by chance, both those things happen. I don't know which is more likely. And, like, I'm going to be surprised if Firkser is anything more than, you know, a backup tight end who chips in the passing game and makes some plays here and there. Evans could be – I mean, Evans is talented enough to be, I think, a really good linebacker in the NFL. I also think that there was more than enough time that we saw here, and I don't think it was like some, like, coaching blind spot or anything. I just think that some people just have that feel, like Jayon Brown did, like David Long does, and some people just don't quite have it, because frankly Rashawn Evans is a lot more physically gifted than both of those guys, and yep, they are better players than him. So if he puts it all together, one, I think you give him credit, but I do think it would also speak to Dean Pease,
yep,
and how he coaches players, and it would harken back to the best season that Evans had, which is the last season Dean Pease had here. That's why that union makes sense. But people will certainly want to blame, want to give some blame back here. Like, why didn't you get this out of these guys?
Well, look, I thought he actually played better last year than he did the year before. Like, I thought Rashawn Evans was better last year than he was the year before. Now, I think at that point, you had the emergence of David Long Jr., and then midway through the season, you pick up Zach Cunningham. So the picture changed around him, and by the time the playoffs came around, he was a healthy scratch in the playoff game against Cincy. So at the end, it was more of a numbers game than anything else, and the writing was on the wall that he was going to be gone. But I did think last year, I thought he was pretty bad in 2020. And I know that on the Titans defense, you can probably put a long list together of people who were bad in 2020. I did think he responded and played much better last year.
I agree. No, I thought there were some Sundays last year where I thought, wow, he's really improved. I think just in coverage, some of the plays he made, which he never made plays in coverage before.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, I think he responded and got better and still could be a good player in the league, but you bring in Zach Cunningham and you watch David Long just fly around and become this – Tasmanian devil out there.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're not going to pay Rashawn Evans. You know, you've drafted Monty Rice. I mean, I think the drafting of Monty Rice was a direct reaction to 2020 Rashawn Evans. Had Rashawn Evans played in 2020 like he played in 2021, maybe they wouldn't have felt as much of a need to go there.
Yeah.
But that's where they went, and you're always looking to be cheaper. And especially now you're more expensive with Zach Cunningham, and you're better. I mean, I don't think anybody would argue, and maybe it won't turn out this way, but at this point right now, based on what they've done, I mean, Cunningham and Long is a really intriguing duo, and it's better than what you would have had with Rashawn Evans.
Yep, I don't think there's any question about that. And now if Anthony Firkser goes down there and he is the top flight tight end, look at about that duo, really that trio, Marcus, Kyle Pitts, Anthony Firkser.
Wow.
Arthur Smith is cooking with gas down there in Atlanta right now. He's ready to go.
Firkser and Pitts, what that could be. Pitzer? Never mind.
Pitzer.
I mean, what do you do if you're a defense?
Okay, I don't know.
You got Pitts over here, you got Firkser over here. What do you do?
Good thing Calvin Ridley's not playing. Then they'd really be in trouble.
I would not bet against them if that were the case.
Oh, yes. Very well done.
Sorry.
I hope this does not
end up. Should have muted myself there, too.
I hope that Arthur Smith does not end up, like, eventually being a casualty of just not having any players down there in Atlanta, because I think it may be rough for the Falcons next year. I know that, you know, Marcus is their quarterback now, so you think they're probably going to win 11 games, but I think it could be rough for Arthur down there next year.
I got to say, I'm really, really excited. Like, I'm really excited for the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm very intrigued,
season.
Yes.
I am. And you're probably right, but I don't know. I'm probably a little bit too pro-Marcus.
Balances
but
me
I could. I think that Marcus could have a kind of a bounce-back season. They've got to use him right. And Arthur Smith, I have a lot of faith in him as a designer of offense, you know? So I'm really intrigued to see what he can do to try to maximize what Marty does well. At times, though, there's the throw. Make the throw.
Yeah.
And you know, or the pocket's collapsing a little bit. Will you stand in and make the throw? And these are the things that got worse as he progressed here. Yeah. Or, per your recollection, he completed 3 passes in his entire career here.
What's
one
more,
or the other?
What's the more inaccurate representation? Marcus Mariota, in my view of him, or the way some Titans fans view Tannehill right now, of not being able to complete a pass?
They are very similar. Yeah. They're very similar.
As I often point out, love Marcus Mariota. Great guy here on the show. Really love him.
Yeah.
He's not friend of the show because he hadn't been on here yet, but
no. Maybe later. Maybe now. Maybe
Arthur
now
Smith
that
is, though.
Falcons. Arthur Smith is a friend of the show. Maybe he can get us, Marcus. Good morning.
Stop by Social Furniture at 5412 Charlotte Avenue in Nashville and enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Chicago Blackhawks coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday. Also, don't forget to check out their new sofas while you're in there. You must be 18 or older to enter the contest. No purchase is necessary. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Get into quite another development for Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Commanders, yesterday as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.